This is an iHeart podcast.
Latest news on inflation is obviously not good. We'll talk about that. Is Joe Biden going to be impeached? Does he deserve to be impeached? We're going to make fun of AOC. Mike Slater joins us again. All that's coming up on I'm Right.
Republican wins, inflation is going to get worse. It's that simple.
You know, one of the things that's always bothered me about not just politics, but political punditry, TV, radio, things like that. What's bothered me about it so much is how disconnected people are on the left and the right from normal working people. And a lot of that's not their fault. They haven't had real jobs. They haven't lived normal lives. I will tell you, I know a bunch of people, obviously now because I do this for a living in TV and radio, and a bunch of the friends I have that do this for a living, it's what they've done for a living. And they just don't know anything else. You know, went to high school, then went to college, usually some fancy college. And then right out of there, they became a writer for this publication or got on this show. And then they started doing guest spots and eventually worked their way up. And now they do TV and radio. And that doesn't mean they're bad people, but it means they just don't understand at all how normal, real people live. I think that's one of the reasons this show comes off as a little bit different. I just started doing this 4 years ago. My entire life, I've been in construction. I was in the Marines. I washed cars. I've been out of work before and broke before. Like today. Today, the big story is what? It's inflation. And it's terrible. 8.2% year over year. 0.4% in September alone. I mean, all those numbers are really, really bad. And you've heard nothing but people talk about that all day long. The inflation, look at these inflation numbers. And then you have the breakdown of it. What's the breakdown of it? Fuel, oil, 58%, gas, 30.5%, electricity, 15%, airline, 43%, eggs, 30%, groceries, 13%, baby food, 12%, blah, 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 so on and so on and so on. You know all that. But here's what bugs me. People who do what I do now, TV, radio, all that stuff, they come on today and they act as if it's breaking news. You already knew. Normal people already knew. Normal people go to the grocery store now and they have to call their husband or wife or send a text. Hey, honey, man, I don't think we can do ribs today. The prices have gone up too much. Hey, honey, I don't think we can afford to go to your mother's for Thanksgiving. I know we got Thanksgiving coming up. I think we're gonna have to tell her we can't do it. With these gas prices, we certainly can't afford to fly. It's just not going to work. Hey, son, sorry, we're not going to be able to afford to put you in travel baseball this year. We just can't afford. We're trying to make ends meet. Normal people are already suffering. They were suffering long before the official numbers came out, 8.2%. They're suffering right now. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're suffering right now. And as somebody who has been out of work, there is something painful about watching your standard of living disappear, watching it erode in front of your eyes. It's Friday night, it's date night, are we going out? No, we can't afford to go out. We got some mac and cheese in the pantry, we'll be fine, we'll eat, but we can't afford to go out. Normal people are living like that right now. Maybe you're living like that right now. And it's part of the reason I despise these politicians, this Biden regime, so much, because they're just so cold. Now, you know Biden's been draining the strategic oil reserve, down 35% already. He's just draining our oil reserve dry. And what's the other big story today? And this really makes me mad. The big story today is Joe Biden went to the Saudis, went to OPEC. He went to the Saudis, and he asked them not to cut back on oil production, which would raise prices up. Only he didn't ask them, just don't cut it back at all. What did he ask them? Hey, don't cut it back until after the midterms. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Before we bring in John Carney, before we talk about how that's a quid pro quo impeachable offense and all these, before we do any of that, I want you to think about that for a moment. I want you to think about how truly cold and despicable and evil the people who run this country are. Imagine being president of the United States of America and looking out at all these people suffering, all these people watching their standard of living erode, and watching the suffering people are going through because of gas prices, and looking at that and not caring even a little bit, only caring up to the point where it might cost you elections. Oh man, these people are suffering. Dang, that might cost us at the midterms. Hey, Bob, can you make sure the Saudis wait till after the midterms? I mean, after that, screw them. Yeah, you can cut it, but just wait till after the midterms. Man, that's evil. It is evil. And I'll be frank with you. I've had to deal with something in my heart for the last 12 hours as I've been brewing on these things. It fills me with hate, man. It makes me hate these people. It genuinely does. I couldn't imagine being president of the United States of America and just not giving a crap about anybody. Being so devoid of any kind of a soul, all I cared about was power. You asked them to hold off until after the midterms? What a piece of crap Joe Biden is. Him and his whole daggone cabal of people. Janet Yellen out there saying everything's fine.
There's a lot to talk about, but from the perspective of the United States, I think the United States is doing very well.
Very well? Hang on, let me check my numbers again. That doesn't look very well at all. Joining me now can probably break this down for us better than I can. John Carney, of course, Breitbart News and Finance and Economics reporter. John, now look. I'm a humble Pima Community College attendee back in the day, so I don't understand how we could be doing very well. Are we doing very well?
No, we're not doing very well. This is a ridiculous thing. We had two quarters of contraction in the beginning of the year. We may barely be growing right now for technical reasons. We have the worst inflation in 40 years. No, we're not doing very well. Janet Yellen, I don't know why the Biden administration continually tries to gaslight people on the economy. It's not working. In fact, it makes them seem deeply out of touch every time they tell people who can see how bad things are that things are doing very well. There's one thing doing well, which is unemployment is very low. But other than that, this is a very tough time for the U.S. economy.
When you talk about people like Janet Yellen and the other Ivy Leaguers in the Biden administration, are they out of touch or are they liars, John? I have no problem calling people liars when they lie. Janet Yellen, I obviously, I don't like her. I don't agree with her on things. She is a highly educated person. She doesn't know what's going on, or she's just a liar?
I think there's an in-between. I think they have talked themselves into a position in which they think they can make the economy do better by saying it's doing better. So they don't really believe in the underlying reality. It's a sort of, I call it wish casting. It's sort of, we're gonna wish that we were in a different kind of economy that we're in. And if we just say the right words enough, we may magically get there. It is, it's like Harry Potter, Hogwarts economy. You can infect things with, you know, waving a wand and casting a spell rather than trying to faithfully describe a outlying reality.
Okay, now let's break down the actual numbers we saw today. I'm sure you were combing through them in a way that I could never do. What do you see? What are the takeaways?
So I think we know that we had very high core inflation, which rose to the highest level since 1982 year over year. That means that we didn't really get past peak inflation. A lot of people said earlier in the summer, oh, well, inflation hit its highest point, you know, now it's going to come down. Well, that didn't happen. Inflation came down a little bit because gas prices went down. That's in this number as well. In September, they were down. They're going back up, so that's not going to take away from the inflation figures anymore. The core figures and a figure that the Cleveland Fed puts out called median inflation, which is just the smack center of all of the different things that are tracked. That is at a very, very high level. And I think as long as we see that, it means we're going to get more inflation down the road. That's really too bad. I would like inflation to go away. I don't like going to the grocery store and, you know, feeling sticker shock. But I don't see any sign of that happening in these numbers.
Okay. These numbers are bad. We know that. We also know the Fed has been jacking up interest rates pretty significantly to try to counter these numbers. Are they done doing that?
Not by a long shot. In fact, the market moved really rapidly when these numbers came out because people said, look, if inflation is running this high, the Fed definitely has to do 75 basis points in November, probably has to do 75 basis points in December. We're not sure what there's no meeting in January. We're not sure what they'll do in February, but probably another 50. So this is this is a lot of interest rates coming into the economy at a time when we see signs that things are pretty shaky, not just here, but around the world. It's going to be a rough beginning of next year.
Okay, well, that leads me right into this. And it takes a lot to shock me because I'm so jaded and cold anymore, John. But I saw B of A, as much as I despise them, they are a pretty big outfit that knows what's going on. Bank of America predicting we were going to start losing 175,000 jobs a month. One, do you agree with that? And two, wow, how?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big turnaround. We've been adding around 400,000 jobs a month. What they are saying is the Fed is going to slam the brakes on so hard. And, you know, we're talking about maybe another 200 basis points in interest rates over the next 3 months. If that happens, then yeah, it does look like we will start to see a serious contraction in employment, which means job losses. Sometime next year, I don't know if I'm very suspicious when economists predict it will be exactly 175,000 a month. I'm just going to say it's not going to be what we're seeing today. It will be a lot lower job creation or job losses. But, you know, is it going to be 175, 150, 200? I don't. They just make that up. They don't really know the answer to that.
That's one of the things I love about you, John. You don't just blow smoke to blow smoke, so I'm going to ask you to blow some smoke. No, I'm not. I'm going to ask you, tell me in vague terms, because you can't be specific, no one's an actual prophet, if we do start having massive job losses, 175,000 or not a month, how long do we think something like that could last? Are we talking 6 months, 2 months, 6 years? I mean, how long until things even out and cool off?
Well, it's really unclear because one of the things is monetary policy acts with a lag. So meaning we saw the Fed raise a lot this year, but we're still hiring like crazy. So by the time the Fed stops raising rates, call it like, you know, March to June next year, we may already have started to see unemployment kick up. And when we see that happen, the Fed doesn't want to cut rates because that might re-spark inflation. So we may have a situation where we're losing many jobs a month, even though the Fed is no longer raising rates. And I don't think they're going to act to do anything about that, although the pressure on them will be immense to try to cut. If, you know, if we have like 6 months of losing around 200,000 jobs a month, I think there will be a panic and they may be forced eventually to retreat from their goal of getting inflation down 2%, which would be a catastrophe because inflation's just going to shoot right back up if they retreat.
Oh, yeah. Between a rock and a hard place. John Carney, thank you, my brother. I appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. I know that the economy is everything right now, right? If you can't feed your family, what else matters? So we have elections coming up. Are we going to do anything about this? Let's check in on elections. How are they going? All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. We'll check in on elections next. Now, I want you to do something for me. I want you to promise me something. And I'll promise you something. All right, we'll make a deal. I, in this next year, during these economic times that are going to be rocky, to put it mildly, I'm going to take better care of my physical health than I have. I'm not some CrossFit workout freak. I never have been. I eat pizza, right? And cheeseburgers and queso, right? I know what normal people live. I drink beer, right? I'm going to eat better. I'm going to drink more water. I'm going to work out more. I'm going to make sure I'm getting the appropriate vitamins and minerals in my body. If all else goes to crap, I'm going to be healthier next year than I was this past year. I'll make you that deal. Part of that for me is I take a male vitality stack every day from Chonk. Not medicine, not more big pharma, Pfizer crap. Natural herbal supplements, nature. From a hardcore anti-communist company. I have a subscription to Chonk, so I never have to worry about remembering again, because I never end up remembering. Male Vitality Stack, 35% off the lifetime of your subscription. Go to chonk.com, promo code Jesse gets you that. Ladies, they have a female vitality stack. You ready to feel amazing, better, more energy, no longer needing that afternoon nap or cup of coffee? chonk.com, promo code Jesse. Cancel anytime. If you don't feel better after 90 days, I want you to cancel. You'll feel better. I get emails every day thanking me. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
I don't know if you've heard. I've got breaking news for you here. I don't know if you've heard, but we have midterms coming up. There's a big midterm election coming up, and I'll be frank with you about something. You know, we're going to cover the midterms as we have been, and we're obviously going to talk about it when it happens, and hopefully, please, Lord, we're going to celebrate that night and celebrate the next day. But let me tell you something. Whatever happens at the federal government level, that's not the most important thing. The federal government sucks. And yes, we want a bunch of Republicans to get elected to try to put some kind of a check on this despicable Biden regime. But the federal government sucks, and it's probably beyond salvage. That's the bad news. Let me give you some wonderful news, though. And it is wonderful. The real great story of election night, it's not going to be the congressman elected. How many seats do we win in the House or the Senate? It's not going to be that. The great story of election night is actually the one that won't be told. It's going to be local. Local is how we take this country back. The federal government is the leaves and the branches. Local is the roots. I see more activism from the right on a local level now than I have seen in my entire life. I see people running for school board, city council, county board of supervisors. I see the right out there knocking on doors, doing rallies, becoming activists, taking back their local communities. We have great things in store at a local level, and you should feel good about that. But that doesn't mean we should ignore opportunities to make fun of Democrats at a national level. For instance, John Fetterman is the latest Democrat that can't understand sentences, and when he speaks, he can't complete sentences. And what's funny about this is NBC accidentally did some journalism, and they exposed the fact that he can't understand sentences and he can't complete sentences. And they just have been getting blasted for that, but they're standing by it.
Since then, other journalists who've also dealt with Fetterman came forward and said they had a different experience.
Yeah, and Savannah, that's completely fair that was their experience. We can only report our own. I will say it's important to note that according to the campaign itself, our team was the first to be in the room with Fetterman for an interview rather than via remote video conference. And myself, my producer, and our crew did find that small talk before that captioning was difficult because of those auditory processing issues I mentioned.
The funniest part about this is NBC reluctantly stumbled into doing some journalism and exposed the fact that John Fetterman is not a fully functional adult and should have no place in the United States Senate. It's not that. The funniest part is watching everyone from the AP to CNN immediately descend on NBC like a pack of ravenous wolves for maybe accidentally exposing a Democrat to some negative reporting. CNN even had this idiot doctor, Sanjay Gupta, come on and he tried to explain why his brain is actually doing fine and this is no big deal. You want to talk about the sky is green? You want to talk about the system, how every pillar, every part of the system is designed to protect its own? Imagine scrambling to get yourself a doctor to show that Fetterman is actually fine. I'm John Fetter. Honey, what's my name? All right. We still have more. Is Alejandro Mayorkas going to get impeached? I hope. I don't know. Hopefully. All right. Here's what I do know. I know Eden Pure Thunderstorm is sweet. I have 6 of these things now. Actually, now that I think about it, it's getting expensive. But I have 6 Eden Pure Thunderstorms. I started out with 1. Buddy of mine, because I always had allergies, buddy of mine recommends this thing. He says, hey, you always have these air purifiers. You should try this thing. I got an Eden Pure Thunderstorm. So off a recommendation, I got one. And I opened it up. I thought it was some kind of a dumb joke. It's just this little black box. I'm used to air purifiers being these big, loud towers. Not this thing. This goes in the outlet in the wall. It was in an hour. The air, you could taste how clean the air is because it's killing all the viruses and mold in your air. It's cleaning out your air, not covering up smells, cleaning them out of your air. It's amazing. They have 3 packs for sale for my viewers, $200 off. $200 off. You can get a 3-pack for under $200 and shipping's free. You have to go to EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. That's how you get a 3-pack. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
The images, as I expressed earlier, the images horrified us in terms of what they suggest and what they conjure up in terms of not only our nation's history, but unfortunately the fact that that page of history has not been turned entirely. But I will not prejudge the facts. I do not in any way want to impair the integrity of the investigative process.
The images were horrifying? Our nation's history? I'm sorry, what? All that was in response to a Border Patrol agent trying to stop a Haitian illegal immigrant from coming into the country. Joining me now, Congressman from Louisiana, Mike Johnson, joins me. Congressman, the fact that the DHS secretary knew that all that was a lie before he got up and gave that press conference, how in the world does this human being still have a job?
That's a great question. You know, on the House Judiciary Committee, we have addressed this with him under oath on a couple of occasions. There's a number, a long list now, a litany of offenses that he has been engaged in since he took office. And this is among the most egregious. We know now because of emails that have surfaced that he knew hours before that press conference that the narrative about the whipping by the Border Patrol agents was false. He knew it. And he decided to stand out there in front of those cameras and those microphones and lie, to repeat the narrative that he knew was false and to slander the Border Patrol. If the man had any dignity at all, he'd be asking for forgiveness over that. And if the media had any dignity, they'd be demanding an answer from him on why he lied to them. But we're not seeing any of that. So when we get the gavels back after this election cycle, you'll see accountability finally for this secretary.
I continue to hear, I'm not putting words in your mouth at all, but I continue to hear from congressmen that I know and talk to that whenever the subject of impeachment comes up, that Mayorkas may be in very, very, very deep trouble for things that you just pointed out. Is that what you're hearing, or is that what you're doing?
Well, listen, I've been clear. I've been on the record. When he was in front of us last April, I told him he'd only been on the job for a few months, and we could tell that he was either ill-equipped for the job or he was intentionally engaging in, for example, opening the border and openly defying federal immigration laws. That's a serious problem. And I told him while he was sitting in front of us in a viral video that he needed to dust off his resume because we would be in charge again. And if the Biden administration and the president did not take care of this problem, then we would have to. We have an obligation. The people are losing their faith in these institutions because of leaders like this. And I think he's just an egregious failure.
I'm glad you brought up losing faith in institutions, because it's something we talk about a lot. It's not that they're losing it, they've lost it. The FBI itself, DOJ itself, when people, half the country, at least when they hear these letters now, they roll their eyes or they sneer at these things. Congressman, that's how nations end, if you don't trust your institutions anymore. How do you get trust back? Because they don't seem interested in earning my trust back or anyone's trust back.
Well, they're not. And the persons and the so-called leaders who don't have that interest have to be replaced. They have to be removed. The American people have to see that there is accountability. And we're ensuring that that's going to happen if the Republicans retake the majority in this election cycle. And I believe we will. And in our Judiciary Committee, we have a broad jurisdiction over the Department of Justice and the FBI. And we're tracking them. You know, we've sent over 100 letters requesting information and details on some of these crazy decisions they've made, and they've not been responsive at all. So just a couple of days ago, Jim Jordan and I, he'll be the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, I'll be the chair of the Constitution Subcommittee. We sent a notice to the Attorney General himself, Merrick Garland, and told him to preserve those records because we will have hearings, the American people will see this, and we're going to ensure accountability. We have to, because the people will not be able to have faith in their institutions again unless we do this.
Okay, now, I've been asking people in your position this question because I'm really genuinely curious. You haul these people out there for hearings, and I'm glad you are. I'm glad you and Congressman Jordan are doing that. The FBI is going to do, I know you know this, what they've always done. Sorry, we can't comment on an ongoing investigation, or it's, well, I'm not sure about that, I'll get back to you. There are never any answers in these things. So fast forwarding to that moment, then what do you do? Because something has to be done from there.
Yeah, well, we're making a commitment to follow the truth where it leads. Congress has certain authority under the Constitution. The death penalty, so to speak, the nuclear option is impeachment. The Democrats have cheapened that because they used it for partisan political purposes. We're talking about restoring the rule of law. We're talking about making sure that our public officials are accountable. And so you're not going to see us back down from that. We'll follow the truth wherever it leads. And if it leads to impeachable offenses, we'll pursue that as well. We'll send that over to the Senate and see what happens. If we have a Republican majority in the Senate, you know, that's where the trial will be held, and we'll see what happens. But I think that some of these officials, I think Mayorkas, I think even Merrick Garland, if they're held to account and they see that we're serious and the heat is turned up appropriately, I think some of these people may resign. I expect Mayorkas would, and we'll have to see what happens.
Which brings us to, speaking of impeachment, it brings us to Joe Biden. Now, I obviously don't want the next Republican Congress to spend every waking moment impeaching everyone in the Biden administration, but I distinctly remember Donald Trump being impeached for what was called quid pro quo, and we now find out today that Joe Biden despicably told OPEC not to cut oil production until after the midterms. Now, and then he's threatening them, by the way, since they didn't. Now, that sounds an awful lot like an impeachable defense or offense if we're going off precedent here, does it not?
Well, it would under the Democrat standard for sure. I served on the impeachment defense team twice for President Trump because it was completely baseless, of course, openly partisan exercise. And we were on record many times saying that's not what impeachment is for. But when you have offenses like this that are so egregious and so in your face, again, we have to follow the truth where it leads. This energy policy from the Biden administration is absolutely astounding. I mean, they have sold out to this climate agenda, and they care not what pain it inflicts upon the American people. They're going hat in hand begging OPEC to increase production to meet our demand and our need here. And when they don't do it, it's as if you know, that they personally offended the president or something. By the way, the Democrats' measures to get back at Saudi Arabia for this are crazy. They're talking about putting an embargo on arms sales to the Saudis. Oh, well, that would hurt U.S. defense contractors and deny them the revenue when the Saudis would just buy the arms from someone else, some other entity or some other nation. They're talking about pulling troops out of Saudi Arabia, the small U.S. Forces that we have there, but they're critical to maintain stability and prevent aggression from Iran. So they just have no answers, and their policy is just insane, and it's causing great pain to the American people, and I think that's one of the big reasons that we're going to have a legitimate red wave election on November 8th.
Congressman, I appreciate it. Come back soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Wild times. Wild times. You know what? We need some perspective on that. My buddy Mike Slater is going to join us next. Maybe give us a little perspective on that. I know you heard the inflation numbers at the beginning of the show, but I'm not naive. Like I told you then, you already knew. Again, we all talk about these things today because it's in the headlines. You already knew food was more expensive. And you heard what John Carney had to say at the beginning of the show. It might get really, really dark. I've been telling you it's going to get really, really dark. What can we do? You can't control it. I can't control it. Prepare as best you can. There's only so much you can do. I would recommend, though, get an emergency food supply. Nothing drastic. You don't have to prepare for the end of the world. Get something to make sure you and your family are taken care of. My Patriot Supply, that's what they do. They've partnered with the show. We're very proud of that. If you go to preparewithjessekelly.com, you'll see three-month food kits there. Three-month emergency food kits, $250 off. It's a pretty good deal. Every person in your home needs 3 months' worth of food if it all goes to crap on us. Preparewithjessekelly.com gets you $250 off. There are four of you in your home, get four of them. If there's one, just get one. Everyone needs one, all right? Preparewithjessekelly.com. We'll be back. Remember all that outrage, well, from me and you recently about the Federal Bureau of Investigation declaring war on peaceful pro-lifers who are praying, singing worship songs, reading the Bible at abortion clinics, you know, people practicing their faith and trying to save lives, evil monsters like that. Well, I want to remind you of something. I keep telling you this, that we're not in some pendulum swing when it comes to the administrative state. This is a lie we tell ourselves to comfort ourselves. Well, I mean, I bet they're worried now. There are going to be hearings. I bet they saw the headlines and they're worried now. The FBI saw all of your outrage and my outrage. The FBI sees all the poll numbers showing Republicans taking over the House, and they were so scared about the anger of you and the Republicans in Congress that they promptly went out and arrested an 87-year-old Holocaust survivor for also being pro-life. That was her crime, peacefully protesting an abortion clinic. We're not in a pendulum. There is a black hole. Evil doesn't have a bottom. Evil forces. The devil doesn't have a bottom. He doesn't get to the bottom of anything. It just goes down and down and down forever until good stops it. Joining me now, my friend Mike Slater, host of the Politics by Faith podcast, one of my favorite people out there. Mike, am I crazy?
No, that was perfect. That was absolutely perfect. Evil has no bottom. I love that. I'm stealing it. I think the part about this story that stands out to me the most is that these two instances that we focus on in the podcast, there's some people in Philadelphia and then Mark Houck, the one individual person. There were no local charges. No, on the local level, the DAs didn't do anything. Police didn't charge anyone. Maybe a minor trespassing misdemeanor, whatever. And it was a year later when the feds came in and dropped the hammer on them to make an example of. That's important. Local level, no big deal, move on, everyone's fine. Federal level, boom, we gotta crush them. That I find unjust. And you know that 156 pro-life centers have been attacked so far, 156 across the country. Nothing from the Department of Justice. But we're gonna crush these pro-life activists, including, as you said, that Holocaust survival. It's crazy, because they broke some bogus federal law, the FACE Act. It says you can't interfere with anyone who wants to get an abortion. All right, the FACE Act. So on this last podcast, Jesse, I thought of you a lot, because what do we do? What do we do in this civil disobedience? What is a person to do? Because Romans 13 says that you have to obey government authorities. That's what it says. You got to obey. They're put there by God. You got to obey them. Well, hold on. I don't want to. So what do? Well, the Bible also has many stories of people disobeying government authorities and then God still blessing them for it. So we go through a couple examples. So the first one that comes to mind is King Nebuchadnezzar. He made a decree that everyone had to worship the golden image of his God. But then you got these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were captives living in Babylon, right? They refused to do it. So they were thrown in the fiery furnace, and they gave one of the great all-time lines of ever. And it's in Daniel 3:17. It says, our God will save us, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to worship your gods. We're still going to do the right thing. And they threw him in the furnace, and God saved him. And God didn't come back and say, well, you didn't obey the government authorities now. Another one, King Darius, he passed a law that says you can only worship him. And then Daniel, after seeing the new law, he went back to his house, and he opened up the windows to Jerusalem, and he prayed to God. And the best line, as he had done previously. So the change in law didn't change his behavior. And then Darius threw him in the king in the lion's den, and God saved him. And God never came back and said, shame on you, Daniel, for disobeying government authority. You know, you weren't supposed to do that. And my favorite example, because it's the least talked about, Exodus 1, 13th century BC. Pharaoh told all the Hebrew midwives that you have to kill all the Hebrew boys. I don't want any more boys born here, right? And there's two women. By the way, the Bible doesn't say this, but I'm assuming this is the case. All the other Hebrew wives obeyed and killed the boys, but these two didn't. Shiphrah and Puah, they did not. And the Bible says God was good to them. And it says they're good to them because they feared God. And that's the point of that episode, Jesse, is who do you fear more? Do you fear God more, or do you fear man more? And whose laws will you obey? Man's laws or God's laws? And I'll tell you, those people who were arrested don't care at all. They don't care at all that they broke man's laws. They were following God's law. And that's the most important thing.
I wish I had talked to both of our mutual wonderful producer, Matt Mayer, beforehand to ask him about this. I didn't know you were going to bring this up. I should have asked him for the mug shots. In fact, Matt may even throw this thing afterwards. Who knows? Mm-hmm. The mug shots of these people has absolutely murdered me. It has blessed me beyond end. In case people are wondering, I will find these for you. I'll put them on my social media. These people, you ever see someone's mug shot, you know, DUI, whatever the case may be, it's like this, and they look horrible. The mug shots, almost to a man, almost to a woman on these people, they're all smiling. Look, yes, Matt did it. Of course, miracle work. Look at that person. They're all like that. They're all just, they seem content. Mike, how could they be content? You just had handcuffs put on you. You're going to jail. How's that possible?
Yeah, content's one thing. It's more than that. It's joy. Consider it joy when you experience trials of many kinds. This is real persecution. And when you're following God's laws, it is a joy when you're persecuted for his sake. That's where we need to get, and that's where we need to, what we need to prepare for. And I love Jesse, because you're like, you're getting us ready, man. Like, you're getting us emotionally ready and spiritually ready, ready for what's to come. And I want people to be, when the persecution hits, you must take it with joy. That's the most, if I can add one thing to what you're preparing us for, is to not only take it and fight back, do the appropriate thing, right? But do it with joy. That is so important, just like those people. Be inspired by them.
Mike, nuclear war. Well, here, watch this.
Armageddon, that's the word you used. How realistic is it, do you think, that Putin would use a tactical nuclear weapon?
Well, I don't think he will, but I think it's irresponsible of him to talk about it. The idea that a world leader of one of the largest nuclear powers in the world says he may use a tactical nuclear weapon in Ukraine, and the whole point I was making was it could lead to just a horrible outcome.
Okay, Mike, now let's set aside Joe Biden and the bumbling and the Putin and stuff like that. People wake up and they hear things like nuclear war, and it fills them with such anxiety. It's something totally out of their control. What about myself? Yes. What about my kids? Am I going to wake up and be snapped into ash like Thanos tomorrow? What? Mike, give us some perspective.
Yeah, again, and that's the point of the podcast. Take the anxiety, add historical perspective, and then biblical peace so that you can go to sleep at night. That's the whole point. And I love out of your control. That's one of the worst parts about things like this. The things that are out of your control, you have the most anxiety about. So then, therefore, what is in your control? That's what we talk about. First, historical perspective. People everywhere always have lived in fear of being attacked and raped and pillaged. We just had Indigenous Peoples Day the other day. Jesse, I know you celebrate that. 80,000, the Aztecs sacrificed 80,000 people in 4 days. 4 days Where did they get those 80,000 people? Right? Neighboring tribes who were raped and pillaged. The Vikings were brutal. If you were lucky, they would castrate you when they attacked you. More than likely than not, they would torture you and then put your corpse on a stake for their gods. They had a form of torture called a blood eagle. I'll save it for you. You can listen to the podcast. The rape of Nanjing, as many as 80,000 girls were raped by the Japanese in 1937. The settlers were brutal, the natives were brutal, everyone is brutal. And we forget this because we live in such relatively peaceful times that life was always awful and you always lived in fear that the neighboring tribe would invade you in any moment and torture you and take your wife and your children away from you and your life is over. So like to the point where I bet if you talk to those people who were tortured in their villages attacked, they would have thought that a bright flash of a nuclear bomb would be merciful. Please just end my life immediately. So what do we do? Well, the Bible, right? The biblical perspective, biblical pieces. We talk about the city of Laish, L-A-I-S-H. It was mentioned very briefly in the book of Judges. Everyone reads over it. 8th century B.C. Very, very short of it. It was this very prosperous valley. And these people lived, as the Bible says, carefree lives. Peaceful, secure, no military, no one was on guard. And the tribe of Dan came in and killed them all. And the point is, we don't want to be like Laish. We don't want to be like them as a country. Charles Spurgeon called it living luxuriously in a fool's paradise. Love that line. We don't want to live like them as a country. We don't want to live like them as people, right? And we're so prosperous and we're so distracted that we don't ask ourselves the most important questions in life anymore. We don't ask ourselves, what is the meaning of life? Where did I come from? What is my purpose in life? And where are we going after? Where am I going after I die? We don't ask it. Go and ask anyone those questions on the street and they have no clue. And this is why we were so spastic and freaking out about COVID, by the way, because people didn't, they never contemplated their own mortality. People never contemplated death before. And people so badly didn't want to die that they were willing to no longer live. And everyone's so worried about end times and Armageddon and all this stuff. But listen, the life we're living here, it is this compared to eternity. It is, you are like, if this is your life, you are here on your life and you have all of eternity. So you better get this stuff straight as well. So recognize that life is full of suffering, embrace it, and let's start asking the most important questions in life. Get that stuff straight.
All right, Mike, finally. I know people were tired of all the crap on TV now. I don't even watch TV with my kids anymore. You can't. Everyone's gay. You can't watch anything anymore with your family. Let's say I'm a family and I want something to watch every single night about 7 o'clock or so. Do you have any suggestions?
Wow, that's funny you should say, Jesse. What do we got? 4 weeks, the last 4 weeks till the election. So we're doing our road to the midterm special. And listen, the segment here, the abortion pro-life people, no one covered that except for Jesse Kelly. No one talked about that. So similarly, we're gonna talk all about the elections, the midterms coming up. The other day we focused on New York. So we're gonna try to take a little bit from every state. We talked to Joe Kent. Today, he was awesome running outside of Portland, a Republican. So we're going to talk to the top candidates, give you a little bit of knowledge, insight into all the different races across the country, and hopefully we can just put a shellacking on the Democrats here in a couple weeks.
Mike Slater, go watch his new show. I will. Thank you, my brother.
Thanks, bro.
All right. We're going to go do Light in the Mood next. Don't you feel better? I feel better every time we talk to Mike. Now, you know what else makes me feel better? Just look, this is going to hit you right in the heart. You know what makes me feel better every time? Steak. I love steak. Is there anything better than a perfectly cooked steak? Actually, there might be. You know what might be better than a perfectly cooked steak? A perfectly cooked pizza. Not the kind of crappy frozen ones. Don't get me wrong, I love frozen pizza, but just one from a professional. You know how the professionals make steak and pizza? High heat. Your home oven can't do it. High heat. You know what can do it? Schwank grills. These things are freaking sweet. Not only do they cook at 1500 degrees infrared, they're portable. Want to take it to your tailgate? Make perfect steaks, pizza, whatever you want in there. You can do it. Out back, you can do it. In your kitchen, you can do it. And they have a deal right now. You ready for this? $150 off. These things are awesome. $150 off. You have to go to schwankgrills.com. Promo code Jesse gets you that deal, all right? Schwankgrills.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And what makes you feel better than watching communists just get abused by their own constituents? AOC did a town hall, her own people showed up, they're the only people that showed up, and they yelled at her.
Congresswoman, none of this matters unless there's a nuclear war, which you voted to send arms and weapons to Ukraine. You ran as an outsider, yet you've been voting to start this war in Ukraine. You're voting to start a thermonuclear war with Russia and China.
You voted to mobilize and send money to Ukrainian Nazis. You're a coward. I believed in you, and you became the very thing you sought to fight against. That's what you've become. Why not right now?
Because
you are the rude to everyone around you. You're
the liar here. Oh, that's fun. All right, let's see you.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
This is an iHeart podcast.